Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody, to Resurrection Sunday, the Risen Life service. We're going to open with prayer, and then hopefully I'm going to be able to teach you, show you what God has given me to give you today. Lord, we thank you for today. We take the extra time to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, the Lamb that was slain, who is slain no more, that lives and is alive forevermore, according to Revelations. We thank you that according to his life, death, and burial and resurrection, that we have eternal righteousness and life eternal with you, and that we could walk this life out in victory and spend eternity with you as priests and as kings ruling, Father. As we reign here on earth, we will reign forever with you. Father, let this word go forth according to your will, Father, not of my own, but of yours. What you have given me, Lord, let it come forth. Let the hearers and the doers of the word have great understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. She's one of the exhibits as well as you. Lisa. Yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. So, gathering all my subjects today, we have a little demonstration for you today. Today I want to talk about risen. And this is when I was praying to God about the direction for my life. This is what he gave me. He started downloading this to me several months ago, and he finished it off a couple weeks ago. And I want to talk about being risen. This service has always been my heart's desire, according to the will of God, to teach you how to live life and live life abundantly, to live a risen life. I've always wanted to have the heart to empower the saints of God, the children of God, with the word of God. There's no power within what I say and what I do. It's only within the holy word of God. It's only through Jesus Christ that we have this. And so he led me, and he gave me some illustrations, and I will hopefully be able to do these for you. Has anybody seen Kevin yet? He's my first one. Okay. So what this comes from, it says Jesus in John 11 and 25, it's Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he was dead, he shall live." So that is what Jesus was saying to Mary. If you all just have a seat. Yeah. Jesus was saying to Mary, come on down, Brother Kevin. Benny, if you would start doing what you're supposed to be doing. Come on down here, please. So this was at the, as he was going to resurrect Lazarus. And he's given her a powerful understanding that he is the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And that talks about a physical death as well, but a spiritual death. And Kevin has so greatly, in his nice suit, he's going to be Lazarus for us today. We're going to give you some illustrations. I want you to understand your risen life is a process. It's a lifelong process. It's an instantaneous thing, but we are still dealing with the consequences of who we were, our decisions in the past, and things of that nature. I had the other one on. He tells me this is the most expensive, you know, demonstration that I do for him. Don't pull too high. So Romans 6 and 11, as you enjoy the entertainment here, it says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, my rapper needs a little help. He's always pulling in wrong directions. Help us, Lord. So when we become Christians, when we give God and ask God to come into our lives and forgive us of our sins, he raises us from the dead. How do I know that? Go to Ephesians 2, and it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Hear that. According to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, the fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, I want you to notice it wasn't anything that you did. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Are y'all enjoying that? This is kind of like what you look like. You're bound up in sin. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Are we done? There we go. We're good. So when they're buried, they were basically what we would call mummified. They were wrapped in oil. In the linen cloths with oil and spices, and they would put a sheet over their face, a covering. Sorry, Kevin. And they were completely covered. How about we said it like that? But when you become alive in Christ Jesus, when you go to him and say, Father, forgive me of my sins, I confess you as my Savior. As in the story of Lazarus, he commanded that Lazarus come forth, and he told the people that were standing there, he said, help him unwrap. And as a child of God, we cannot save him. He's bound up in his own sin, his own lust, his own flesh, his own ideas, his own pride, his own whatever it is, he's bound in sin. But Christ came and died so that we could be free. So I want you to understand what you do as a child of God is you take the truth, because what does the Bible say? The truth will set you free. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. And you take this truth and you give it to the person that is in sin, your friends, your family, when you come to hear the preaching. And it their choice to take the truth. Kevin, are you going to take the truth? Take the truth. And the first thing he's got to do, and God told me this, is a lot of them will do this part, but they won't take this off. They don't want to see it. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to see the truth. So they keep putting this grave cloth over their face so they won't see it. But as a child of God, you give them the truth. Now, Kevin, it is your time to be Superman and come free. So this is what happens at salvation. This is part of being risen. Thank you very much. Just leave it there. We're good. We got more on the way. So it's a process. So, Sister Lisa, you're my next subject, my next demonstration. Sister Lisa has been risen. But the Bible has some interesting, this is your garment. Your garment. Put it on the best you can. So we've been raised from the grave cloths, and now we've got a choice to make in our risen life. Isaiah 61 and 3 says, to console them who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, not of yourself, that he may be glorified. So I think that's wonderful. A lot of us go through it, and Christ is able to do what he is supposed to be doing. But you have a choice. You've been risen. Are you really ready to get rid of everything? Hand me. Are you ready, Lisa? I've got something better for you. Throw it down. He gives you the robe of his righteousness. It's not anything that you earned for yourself, is it? I didn't die on the cross. I didn't live a life perfect. But because of Jesus, the risen Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, I have his righteousness. But he didn't stop there, did he? Nope. Hand me the Bible. He made us what kind of priest? He gave me his glory, his power, his authority, which is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Are you ready for that? This is part of being risen. This is what you exchange the grave clothes for. This is what you change it all for. This right here, it comes with kingship and priestly duties. You have authority and power to walk on this earth as kings and priests with all the power that Christ had, all the authority over sin, over the enemy, over your flesh. But do you walk in this part? This is part of being risen. It's still your choice. It's still your choice. It's a process. Every day when we read this word, remember it's a sword. It's a sword. It's teaching you things that need to be cut away, things that need to be removed. And you take that word and you use that sword. You don't just use it on the enemy. You use it on yourself. And know you why you can do it? It's because you have been made a child of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator. You have all power and authority through him. This is part of being risen. My next example, Brother D.A., you help me with this. Brother D.A., we're going to bind you up. Come on out here. So we're living this holy life, and we're trying to do it all right. But we've got some issues. We still have ideas. We still have some familiar spirits that we run with, right? We have some friends that are enemies. And so God gave me the story of the maniac of the Gerasenes. Remember, he was crossing over on the boat and the big storm came. They don't want him over there either. But as soon as the boat landed, who greeted him? The man with the demons of Legion. And God told me, he says, we are bound up. Now, let me read you Matthew 5 and 2 through 5. It says, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had been bound with shackles and chains, and that he had pulled them apart. And the shackles broke in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Do you know why they couldn't bind him in the physical? It's because he was bound in the spiritual. This is a process. This is part of being risen. It's time to cut loose some chains. Jesus simply said, come out of him. Get thee out. Do you know you operate in that same power as the child of God? That lives within you. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, lives within you. And you have the ability to walk away. Break the chains. Luke 2, 10 and 19, let me prove it. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on the serpents and the scorpions and all and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Ephesians 6 and 12. Now, remember, you don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Jesus said that God had put all things under the authority of Christ. All power and authority in earth and heaven has been given to me. And he's made him head over all things for the benefit of the church, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Part of being resurrected is letting go of the sin. You've been set free. Jesus said, come out. He's given you, remember, he gave you power and authority. Your crown, your weapon, the word of God, you have it. This is part of being risen, being set free from all that the enemy has you bound up with. You still have a choice. You can keep hanging with those familiar things, or you can be free. Thank you, brother. The last thing we see as far as being risen, Sister Miriam, if you'd come. There's some tape there. I want you to put it, hold it like this. There's two little bunny ears there. This one. There's the other. The last thing is heaviness. Do you remember? We are instructed to put off all weight. So Jesus walks into the synagogue one day, and there's this woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. When you look up that word in the Greek, it means a mental or physical condition, a disease of type. She was bowed over because she was weighed down heavy. Now, thank you, ma'am. This represents, what weight are you carrying? Guilt, shame, unforgiveness, your past, maybe just the things you did yesterday. What is your weight? The Bible tells us in in Hebrews 12 and 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne. Do you know what he said to her? He said, woman, you are loose. He didn't say you were healed. He said, you are loosed, woman. She has to let it go. She has to give it to him. Thank you very much. What weight do you have in your life that is weighing you down? Jesus has a wonderful thing, a fix for that. He says, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, that rest means to cease from labor. You can't fix that weight. You can try all the self-help, all the books that you want. You can do all that you want until you get Jesus involved. And then you've got to give it to him. He says, I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. There are things that you're not supposed to bear. Do you remember? Out of the ashes comes beauty. The joy for heaviness, the spirit of heaviness, there is the garment of praise. What are you still hanging on to? That second word, rest, means to take refreshment of strength and spirit. Let it work. Let it do its thing. Let you find joy and peace in that. Take my yoke upon me. John 8 and 31 says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we shall walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You are supposed to be risen. Risen. It's a process, I understand. But you are not without power. You're not without authority. You are not without the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within you to defeat even your flesh. Let me give you a revelation God gave me this morning. There's something in my life that he has asked me to do, a simple task. He said, if you'll just do this, it'll be okay. I have been letting my body tell me that I cannot do that physically. God showed it to me this morning. He said, why is it that your flesh has this control over you when I said all you have to do is this? But you go home and say, I'm too tired. I've had a bad day. Let me tell you, it's a walk. It's a process. I'm learning to let the burden go. I'm learning to take control even over my own flesh and command it when it doesn't want to. That's what risen is all about, being new in Christ Jesus. And it says that our old man was crucified with him. That's what the cross was all for, so that we could be crucified, that our sins could be crucified, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For we who have died have been freed from sin. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I don't care what you're struggling with, it has to obey you. It has to obey when you say, in the name of Jesus. I do not have to obey that sin anymore. I don't know what it is. In the name of Jesus, I don't have to walk around with my head down because I am a royal priesthood. I am a child of the Most High God. And in the name of Jesus, you must yield to me because I am the child of God. And Jesus overcame it all. He said, you're going to have trouble in this world. I'm just letting you know, but it's okay. I have overcome it. And that means you have too. This is what risen is about. We are risen from death of sin. We are given beauty for the ashes. The enemy no longer has a place in my life or in my heart, and we give all our weight to him. What is your purpose for that? What did Jesus say before he left? Mark 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Not in your name, not in pastor's name, not in anyone else's name. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Are you ready to be risen? We have a great task ahead of us. All he says you do is believe and be baptized. So the talking of taking up serpents is not a physical thing. Although if the serpent presented and God said I was supposed to remove it, I believe he would allow me to do that. But it is a spiritual thing. It is the taking up of the enemy each and every day. What did Jesus tell us? Take anyone who wants to come after me must take up his cross. deny himself is the first thing he said. And I like where Luke said it. Anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily. That's dying daily to sin, dying daily to self, dying daily to flesh, dying daily to what I used to be, because I have been given something so much greater with all power and all authority. And then he says, follow me. Follow my example. Are you risen? Are you risen? That's the whole purpose for what he did. He lived in righteousness. He died and took on your sins. He bore your penalty. He gave his life. They didn't take it. He gave it. He said, Father, I commit my life into your hands. He gave it up for you. And then they put his body in the grave. But I want to tell you, he wasn't just laying in there waiting for the third day. He was still doing the Father's business. He was still doing the Father's business. And then on the third day, he walked out and revealed himself to the Marys, revealed himself to many people for 40 days before he ascended to the Father and now sits, according to the word, at the right hand of God. Are you risen? What's so great about it? I just have to choose to believe and do it. He's already equipped me. He's already done the hard part. He overcame the world and the enemy for us, putting them to shame, despising the shame of the cross. He became sin who knew no sin, so that you and I could be called the righteousness of God. You are called to live a risen life. I don't care what's bound you. I don't care what's weighing you down. You take the authority and the power and the righteousness that he has given you in Jesus, and you walk over it and walk away. You have that ability. Father, I thank you for the words and the demonstrations that you have given us today. I pray that this would bear in our minds and our hearts, Lord. Let the fruit of this word grow. Let us be the men and women we're called to be, to walk in the power and authority and the dominion that you lived on this earth to give us, that you died and rose again for us to have. The keys of hell and death no longer are possessed by the enemy, but you have them, Lord. And all power and all authority to the standing Lamb in heaven. We thank you, Lord. Help us to realize the parts of our lives where we need to rise up and walk in authority in this world so that your kingdom and your will be done in our lives and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. Thank you, everyone who volunteered.